these unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Yeah!
What that shit slaps?
Unspoken Words!
Episode 179, the telling you that you need to demonstrate the right way by leading by an excellent example that others may emulate and thrive episode. Hey!
Woo! That one came from the diaphragm. Who can no one
That was the best one yet.
Lead by example, who can no one?
Lead by example, who true leaders, who hey, no way.
Hey, no one.
JC, take it away, yo, one day, hey, one day.
Here. I thought you were going to bust it out. Unspoken words, hey. It's about that time. We're in episode 179, Unspoken Words, and we're going to get into some virtue conversation cards in a little bit. But before we do that, over here to my right, all the way from Babuin, I know he is your favorite Indian, your hole-in-one, your ace, shooter JC McGavin. Say what's up.
How you doing?
I'm doing swell. Thanks for asking. And over here to my left, all the way from L. Jesus, number 83 in the place to be. He ain't even trying to preach. He's the pod god. He Randy B. Say, what's up?
Mahalo.
Ah, mahalo.
Maholo.
Hey, and you know me, Mo Hugs Not Drugs, all the way from up the road in Arrow Creek. Hey, up the road, up the road, hook. Let's get some Lulus.
Up the road.
From the up the road powwow.
All the way from up the road, where that lady with the deadly stare. I think she lives up there. Way up there in the gap.
Over where?
She like lives amongst the rocks and just stares off into the distance, waiting for JC to return. She's like, I seen him over there where they cut the wood. One day he'll make his way to me.
She's praying him in.
Yeah. She's sitting over there at Old Woman Butte.
That's what that is.
You feel a tug?
That's what that is. Yeah. A tug.
I've been wanting to go to Priorly.
I had to ask myself, did anybody else feel that tug?
I don't know. When does it happen?
Usually late at night, really early in the morning.
Yeah. No, then no.
Sometimes I'm just kidding.
I just heard a banger earlier today.
A banger?
Yeah.
Hit it.
All right, I'll sing it for you guys. I don't know about if there's a copyright on it, so I'll just jam it out.
Well, the worst that could happen is they'll take this episode off the air.
We're going to a powwow.
We're going to a powwow.
We're going to have a good time.
A really good time.
We're going to the powwow. We're going to dance in a circle.
Circle.
Going to a powwow.
Oh, man.
What did that one comment say? This slaps.
And the other one said, oh, my God, my COVID is gone now.
Those healing songs.
Healing song.
Ooh. If you were to name that drum group, what would you call it?
Oh, man.
Mmm.
Walking Eagle Singers.
Ah, full of shit to fly.
Walking Eagle Singers.
Take it away. We're going to a powwow. Senior classic for these tiny tuts. We're going to a powwow.
Just see a whole bunch of little kids just disgusted, huh?
We're going to the powwow.
That
part cracks me up. He's all into it. We're going to the powwow. Oh, damn. All right. Let's go. Then shit. What you waiting for?
Let's go. I don't want to be late.
I've been waiting on y'all. No, I think I told you guys before, like, I used to watch that and I showed it to my kids when they're younger. I'm like, Rose, like, tiny. Like, probably like 3 and 7.
Yeah.
And older. That's probably when I first showed them. And then we jumped in the car and we're going to Bozeman Powwow. And then after we headed out from Billingsley on the interstate here, they started singing that song in the back. We're going to the powwow, like jokingly. And I just chimed in with them. We're going to have a good, good time. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about.
YouTube it.
Yeah, YouTube it. Actually, let me see. Hold on here. I sent it to the group earlier. But one of my friends, shout out to you, buddy Wendy Boy, sent that to me earlier. He said, white people powwow song, going to a powwow. That classic hit.
Leave your comments. We like the comments.
Yeah, put your comments on that YouTube. It's awesome. Man, the part I think that killed me, man, on that video is like when they pan over and they have that one dancer. Like this? Yeah. Just moving his arms, not even footwork. No footwork at all.
Oh, and then they had...
He's all arms.
They had their backup lady singers, too.
Yeah, with their rattles. Pow, meow.
Circle.
They went around the room and, dude, I did not see anybody with any... No dark-skinned people in there at all. Unless I missed it.
They might have been German.
Yeah.
No, those guys are crazy over there.
In Germany?
Yeah, like, if you do some more research and look on YouTube and stuff, they're like, yeah, full-on powwows.
I think I saw something like that.
But it's like, they're singing, their dancing is legit.
They're even trying their outfits are legit. Too.
Damn.
Man, they're singing. I was like, damn, man, these guys are good.
They got sweat lodges, too.
I bet.
They going girl style?
Going co-ed style.
Straight birthday suit.
The naked believers. To the naked believers.
That's how you came into this world. That's how you're going out.
Yeah, because you're going to the sweat lodge and it's symbolic of the womb. So, yeah, keep us posted on any co-ed sweats coming up. Just kidding. No, it's all good. Yeah, today I had to do some, I got back into town last night pretty late, went to Minneapolis. Shout out to all the natives out there. I only seen a few here and there. But yeah, y'all doing your thing up there. I was hoping to try to make it over to Mystic Lake, but didn't make it over there. But it's all good. But, yeah, today I had to do a appreciation versus appropriation presentation. And what I do is just like talk about the history, like the Dawes Act, there's like in 1883, they made a code to like get rid of all of our, we couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't talk our language. We couldn't do our ceremonies. We couldn't sing and dance. We couldn't even, we couldn't practice any of that like cultural stuff without punishment and potlatch. Like we couldn't even do giveaways.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me. Like, I mean, I knew all this, but when I was going through getting prepared for my presentation, it was just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of hit home. I was like, damn. Like, and then they left it up to the, they called him the Indian agent. It's like a former, like a military man, basically, that they posted at the fort and said, okay, you guys, you have to manage this tribe or whatever.
Kind of like John Dunbar?
Yeah, like that. And it was up to him. It was up to them to, like, enforce punishment or enforce these rules. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Wonderland.
Well, see, that's why you gotta...
That's why you gotta vote.
That's why you gotta vote. That's why you gotta honor and respect all those people that kept it underground.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, like sure. At the risk of whatever punishment they were handing out, they survived. Not all of it, I don't think. Like, we lost a lot of things, but at the same time, I'm a firm believer in the fact that we can get those things back because when they received those spiritual type of things, they went out and they asked for them. And that's how they got them.
Yeah, I think so. I think the purest form of it and like a lot of knowledge of it is gone. But yeah, it's going to take some individuals to go if they really want to know like what, how it really was, then they're going to have to make a lot of sacrifices in order to gain that knowledge back.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's very interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that's for anybody.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, you know, you sit there and say, well, that ain't me, or I can't do that. But no, man, you can. You just, like you said, though, you got to make a lot of sacrifices for it.
Oh, for sure. So, and then like, that's where I start out with my presentation. I give like history, and then I go into like, like Halloween costumes, and then like, mascots and stuff. And one of this boomer, said, I don't know what the big deal is in my presentation today. Like, I don't know what the big deal is. He's like, we call black people black. We call white people white. And I was just looking at my, this is virtual, and I was doing this presentation. I said, well, I'm not red. And I said, if anybody walked up to me on the street and called me a redskin, I said, I'm going to take offense to that. There's probably going to be some furniture moving up in this. And then when I said that, there's like laughing, like people in the comment bar putting laughing faces and stuff. Like, cause like they're laughing at him.
Yeah.
Cause like, he didn't understand like the magnitude of it. Like, he's probably in that state where there's like, we're trying to honor you. Why are you offended?
Yeah.
You know, type of deal. Anyway, so I take it from there, and then I take it into like dancing, and I show pictures of some non-native white individual males here around here that go to powwows and they dance, and they're accepted, but then they like befriended families,
yeah,
from tribes, and then told that family like, I want to dance, like, yeah, I love your culture and everything, I want to get out there and dance, and that family helped them get their stuff together so they could go dance. And they're fully accepted by this powwow circuit and powwow community because of that, because they went about it the right way, type of deal, where like a costume and mascots, that's appropriation.
Yeah.
You know what that reminded me of? I don't know why I thought of this, but remember when Kyrie Irving first went back to Boston Garden and he was smudging in there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all those people were saying, you know, they were giving him shit about it.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, like, oh, you've only been Indian for, you just now, I can't remember what he said.
Like, you just turned Indian.
Yeah, you just turned, basically, that's what they said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, man, you don't know what he went, you know, you don't know what they told him when he went home.
Yeah.
Went to his people and, you know, what they taught him and what they gave to him.
Because so, what was it like? His grandmother was enrolled there, right?
Yeah, his grandmother. I think his mom.
I think his mom was too.
Mom was
his
too.
Mom,
but
yeah.
She was adopted out.
Was she adopted out? Didn't we cover this in like the first?
Yeah, Little Mountain.
Like one of our first 10 episodes was on Kyrie.
Yeah. Maybe we talked about him extensively.
Lost to the ether. But anyway, yeah, that's what that reminded me of. Like all these people saying, oh, you know, you don't, like, who are you to tell him that or say that kind of stuff about somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that really kind of speaks to, I mean, that's why I really impress, how do I say it? That's why every person has to have their own relationship, right? Like we can, and traditions are important, right? But it usually meant something to the person that initially received the revelation.
True.
And then as you go on down the line, it loses its value and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like what you were saying, like anybody can go get it, but there's a price to be paid. And I think of that like in terms of like anything, right? Like,
yeah,
we have to have that relationship and being, you know, people that have faith, right? Like anybody that has faith, like there has to be that relationship involved.
Yeah.
And then it develops because every relationship is based off of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but we have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like sacrifice our time, sacrifice like the now, especially with where the world's at now, like everything coming fast paced, like being intentional about seeking.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go. That's a you good know? Way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. Because like I had to like train myself to get out of like whenever I was seeking something and I fast and pray, like I'll skip a meal or like I'll just drink water until dinner time, you know, and like and I'll pray when I'm during that when it's supposed to like breakfast time or lunchtime, and I'll pray.
Yeah.
And I'll ask, you know, I'll just ask, you know, let God know my needs, you know, and praying for whatever it is that I'm seeking. And then the revelation comes or the next move comes that I need to take or whatever I need to do. I had to get out of like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good for JC too. Here.
Yeah.
Like, trying to give it away. Yeah. And it's like for me. Because yeah. I'm the one who sought it. That's the revelation that I got. Because he's not in the same situation or you're not in the same situation as I am. As far as, you know, my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this revelation is good for me, but not, might not be good for you.
That's why it's important for a relationship, right? Like yeah, to be able to be like, okay, like having that intact of knowing what to share and when to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some things are just for us. And this is coming from the guy that likes to talk, right? Like,
as far as I know.
But you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
knowing what to give away and really what's for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like personally in our own personal relationship. And that, you know, like that's kind of what I do with my parenting. It's like, man, you can see, but you have to develop your own. Like you can't go off of your dad's coattails. You know what I mean? Like that's, that's kind of what I preach to my daughter.
Mm.
So I just put like little prayers up on a marker board, a dry erase board.
Yeah.
With a different lesson every week.
Right on.
And I just tell her, if you don't know what to pray, there's a prayer right there. But you have to develop your own relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the idea. Like for, and it's like that for all of us.
Yeah, just like some basic guidelines or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Right on, right on, right on. Yeah, it's always, I love doing these presentations like that and just like getting in front of people that I don't know. And I always like, you know, I'm never condemning. I'm never like, you should know this, or I'm never like confrontational because that's not, because I want to operate in grace. I want to operate in like love. I was like, okay, if somebody says something kind of sideways, like today, you know, I just kind of joked about it, but then made a point and like, and then moved on. Thanked him for like his comment. Because I always say, hey, I want to have a conversation. I don't feel like you're interrupting me, man. Just chime in, ask a question, blah blah blah. Use the chat, whatever. Because I don't know what you don't know.
Yeah,
you know, I don't. So if you ask a question, I always tell them there's no dumb questions, there's no wrong questions. Just ask away. Because I'd rather sit here and have a conversation than just talk for an hour. You know. I mean, I'll talk for an hour. I'll talk for 2 hours.
How's the reception?
Usually pretty good. I mean, it varies, but for the most part, you know, there's good questions and there's good conversations. I like in-person better, especially with that presentation. Because then once somebody opens up and, like, takes that kind of leap of faith to ask a question, then boom, 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 boom. And we cover everything that I wanted to, and, like, we're on slide 3 still.
Yeah.
But we've had a conversation and there's learning that happened.
What makes the red man red?
What makes the red man red? And I sing that song for him too. Just kidding.
No, I think that's awesome though, because you're right. Like you don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And like to be able to have that conversation is valuable. Like maybe, you know, no matter what was said, that guy's probably thinking about the conversation today.
Oh, for sure. At least he has like a different perspective, even if he doesn't agree with it. He can just see where one native is coming from it. And yeah.
But that makes for a conversation at the dinner table, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like, you know?
He probably got home. He's like, you know what I learned from this little redskin son of a gun?
Either reinforces his belief.
Yeah.
Of why he, you know, thinks it's, you know,
yeah,
not a big deal. Or it changed his perspective, and he's chewing on it.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about that time I was in Winco?
Oh, yeah, that time?
That time?
No, what happened?
No, I remember, I'm pretty sure I told you, but I was in there, and there was these two white gentlemen, and they must have knew each other. They were both pushing separate carts, but they started talking, and one of them said, and I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but, I mean, they were right there, like, from me to you. And so, I mean, I just overheard them, and then one of them said, hey, did you see that? They're changing the Redskins' name, and then the other one said something like, yeah, when everybody got so sensitive, and then there was a little boy with one of them, and he was like, well, how come they changed it? How come they changed it, Dad? So, and that's when I turned around. I wanted to see what he said.
Yeah.
And he kind of mumbled something because they saw me.
Yeah.
And when I turned around, because I wanted to hear what he said. I wanted to hear his answer. And he mumbled something, and then they changed the subject real quick, and I thought, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But his little boy, this little tiny kid asked him, why did they change it? And he didn't tell him why. Not in front of me. Or he didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to hear what his thoughts were. Why did they change it? I almost said that too. Yeah, Dad, why did they change it?
Yeah.
That would have been a good conversation. You know, like, I think, like, that's not confrontational. I think that's being assertive in a situation.
Oh, so.
You know what I mean? Like.
Like, even just making that eye contact or looking in their direction.
Yeah. But, you know. Like, and I'll say that, like, so there was this one gentleman who was making a native accent.
Oh, yeah.
And it bothered me. And I'm like, man, like, I hope I run into this guy. And I did.
Yeah.
But. It was like, hey, why did you think that was funny?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Was it like a northern native or like a Crow one?
It was like just a stereotypical native. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, like how.
White man's firewood.
Yeah, like that. Like, and he was sounding, and he was like, no, I got Canadian friends. I'm like, but why would you? You saw two Indians walking through here. Why did you think that was funny?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but that was like a teaching moment because now me and that young man have a decent relationship.
All right.
Or cordial relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like you operated in grace. You asked him and then like heard him out.
Yeah.
You didn't like walk up, punch him, and then be like, why the F you being like this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Teach him all about red man.
No, but that's it. Like, that's the type of like. I feel like when those things happen, right, like historically, we never had those conversations.
Nope. No.
We never asked them, but we're in a place now where we can.
Yeah, more and more.
Yep.
More and more people need to stand up.
At the same time, man, you got to choose your battles, though.
I mean, true.
Really. Because.
I mean.
You could talk to some people till you're blue in the face, and they're just not going to be receptive.
Yeah, I think. Those kind of people are on both sides, like native and non-native. And when they have a confrontation, it usually goes viral. But I think all that is good.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we haven't been standing up for ourselves in these type of situations where I remember in the past when someone was being overtly, openly racist and stuff, like me and my family, like when I'm talking about like a kid, my mom and dad, like, we would leave the situation, or leave that area.
Yeah.
And nothing would be said. Because there's, like, more of them. But today, we got more and more people, like, standing up to these racist comments and stuff. And just, like, last night, I was in Minneapolis in the airport, and there's the people working at the desk, like, we're at the gate. Waiting to go, and it was delayed, and everybody was kind of grumpy. You know, it was 10:20, and the flight got delayed 3 hours.
Dang.
You know, so weird. Like, the other people were grumpy, tired and stuff, and, like, I was just chilling, man. I was just like, man, I'm on my way home. I'm cool, you know. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to be home, you know. I'm going to be home, watch some SportsCenter, and go to bed. That's where my mind was. Everybody else is tired, and there's white couple, the workers at the desk, Middle Eastern. One had like a Middle Eastern accent. The other one had like an Indian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making announcements. And I can always understand people with accents.
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up with accents, you know. Usually when someone has a real thick accent, they're bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood what she was saying. And I understood what he was saying when making announcements. But then this guy started chiming up. He was sitting behind me. And he started saying, well, I don't know what was said. It was something about a bag. And then, like, their little group started laughing. And they made another announcement. And they said, well, I don't know what that was. I think he was speaking French. And they all started laughing again. Mm-hmm. And then I was just kind of like, and it went on. They did it a couple more times. They were laughing and laughing. And so I stood up. Because they were starting to load, like, the first class comfort and all that.
Yeah.
And I stood up, like, me and my whole family stood up. There's five of us. We're all native, obviously brown and stuff. And I turned around, and I just looked right at that guy. And I was just standing there looking at him, and the comment stopped. And, like, he didn't make a comment again. And they made, like, several more announcements. But I was just going to see if he was going to say something. I was about to say something, too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, who the fuck are you, you know?
And this flight was coming back to Billings?
Yeah, this person came back to Billings.
So these guys, that whole crew of people is in Billings community.
Yes, sir. They all got off the plane. They had no connecting flights.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, typical.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I always say, like, one thing that always stuck out to me, like, remember when we were in Phoenix? Like how diverse it was in Phoenix.
Yep.
And then we got to Salt Lake, remember? And then the diversity like dwindled. Like, remember, where was it? Was it from Phoenix to Salt Lake and then to here, right?
Yep.
Like where it was real diverse in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
We got to Salt Lake, it was a little bit. But then when we got to our wing dog, we were like the only colored folks on there.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we get here and it was all, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that speaks to the region that we're in and the type of people that we deal with on a daily basis.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know? Yep, yep. Because even over there, you know, we're at the Mall America and there's like tons of people from all over the world.
Yeah.
There, man. I was like, I think I barely heard any English, like just from the people walking around. My daughter was like, she came up to me and we're just like sitting there taking a break. And she said, Daddy. I said, what? She said, how come there's no white people here? Because it was mostly like brown and black people walking around. I mean, there was white people there, but it wasn't like in the numbers that it is here.
Yeah.
And she just figured like there was no white people in Minneapolis. I was kind of like, oh, and I just kind of explained it, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of Muslims out there too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I noticed a lot of ladies wearing like the covering.
Hijab, right? Is that what they call
it?
Hijab? Yeah. I think so.
But yeah, very, very friendly people. Very cool. Yeah, it was crazy. We took an Uber downtown to go to the game and an Uber back to Bloomington.
Yeah.
That's where we were staying the night of the game. Both guys were from Africa.
Yeah.
It was funny because, like, not funny, but it was cool. Like, on our way down there, he's like, oh, I'm getting a phone call. Can I take it? And I said, yeah, go for it, man. He hit, boom, he answered it, man. He's speaking his language. Man, it was like, it was fast and it was kind of like.
Yeah.
And I was like talking. The lady was talking in their language too. And I don't know how it ended because they both went, ah. And then the phone ended. And then the phone call ended. And then he just kept went right back into our conversation. I was kind of like, oh, man, that was pretty cool.
You should have asked him, what was she mad at you about?
I said,
she caught me cheating.
I said, I don't know what you guys said, but I understand.
I know, bro. I know.
I threw my arm around him. It's all good, bro. I'm here for you.
I got you. Gave him a pound.
Yeah. Give you a tip.
Fat tip.
All right, man. You guys ready to do this? Get into these virtual conversation cards.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right, all right, all right. So, DJ, if you're ready, why don't you hit me with that beat?
Ayo, let's get into our topic. Ayo, let's get into our topic.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Okay. We are here in episode 179, and we got this virtue conversation cards that were gifted to us from none other than Uncle Yakovich, Uncle Mike Yakovich. So shout out to Uncle Mike. We're finally using the cards you gave us.
For three years.
Took about 3 years, but hey, we're getting there. Indian time. Anyway, so pre-recording. We each picked out a card blindedly, and there's virtues on there with an explanation, like a quote, a poem. And we're each going to read a portion of this. We each got a card, and then we're just going to go into a little conversation. Not going to spend too much time on each card, but yeah. Anyway, so mine is flexibility. Flexibility is the ability to adapt and change amid the fluctuating circumstances of life. And that's the first sentence of the kind of description. But what I really wanted to read here is there's a little poem in the back type of, I think it's a poem. Sounds like a poem to me, but anyway, I'm going to read that and then give a little reflection on that. It says, the practice of flexibility. I adapt when change is called for. I trust the course of my life. I find creative ways to solve problems. I accept things I cannot change. I am in a constant state of growth. I am open to life's unexpected wonders. I like that. I like that a lot because that's kind of like what I've been striving for in my recovery, to remain adaptable, to commit to learning. Like when it says I adapt when change is called for, I mean, change was so hard for me. I think I've shared it multiple times on here where, you know, I plan on an event, whether it's my kid's birthday party or like pay-per-view, whatever the event was. And I had it played out in my head, everything that was going to happen there. And if something got skewed, or something was supposed to start right at 5, but it didn't get going till 5:02. I was livid. I was pissed. I was cussing people out. And so to be able to adapt to the change has been a journey for me. Initially, very difficult, having to hold my tongue and having to do a lot of pre-prep, making sure that I got my modulated breathing in, making sure that I'm at meetings, making sure I'm talking about stuff, venting about stuff, not making sure that I'm not taking anything into an event, like stewing about something or harboring something, making sure all that is dealt with before I get to the event. A lot of that work has had to take place where now, practicing this, I can just go into an event and I don't have to do all that prep work anymore. I'm just used to it now. It's like going into an event and just be like, okay, I'm going to adapt. I'm going to let it do what it do. Now I say that to these guys. I always say, let's let it do what it do, what it's going to do. Cause that's my philosophy these days. Yeah, there's a plan. Yeah. There's been some prep work and stuff and expectation of things to happen, but as long as that all happens and people had a good time, there's good fellowship, then cool, the thing happened and it's good, people had a good time, then it's all good. I don't have to be an a-ho. I don't have to cuss someone out because they didn't start the music when it was supposed to start, you know, type of deal. And this is part of the Serenity Prayer. I accept things I cannot change. That's huge. And a lot of that is like outside of me. I accept things I cannot change because the only thing I got control over is my actions. I am in constant state of growth. I am open to life's unexpected wonders. Yeah, man, those are key. These are things that I teach my kids, you know. One thing that I just talking to them about, like, because in sports, man, like, I beat myself up at times, you know, for whatever reason. But I've switched my mindset into a space where, like, life is just constant learning. So when a mistake happens, yeah, I feel upset about it. I make a mistake. I'm upset about it for, you know, a little bit. It's like, okay, well, what can I learn? How can I handle this different next time? Move forward. Let's keep going. I don't sit there and call myself dumb. I don't sit there and say I'm worthless. I don't do that anymore. I used to. And then I just wallow in that self-pity until I drank over it. Or until I cussed someone out over it. Or until I sabotaged my life. Until I could go drink. Those are the things I did. So today I look at life as constant learning. Continuous learning. And so I tell my kids. In sports, man, they beat themselves up and they make a mistake. And I said, don't do that. Don't beat yourself up and like get down on yourself. I said, because if you look at it like this, when you're in a classroom and the teacher tells you something that you didn't know, you had no idea about, but they're teaching you a lesson on a topic and you learn that information, you sit there and hit yourself and say, oh, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I should have known this. Do you? And they say, no. So I said, same thing in sports. You make a mistake, you gotta learn from it. Don't sit there and beat yourself up. Just learn from it. It's like, okay, so now I know if I do that, that's a mistake. I'm not going to do that next time. You know, just trying to, and this is like something that I'm trying to, that I'm doing. And I'm not perfect at it, but something I'm striving for, that life is just continuous learning. And I'm going to make mistakes, man. I make mistakes every day.
I know.
Buzz, I know, man. I know you're always watching. But anyway, that's my take on the flexibility. Anything from what I read or said you guys want to chime in on?
Yeah. You know, just today, I had to be flexible because we had somebody call out, and then I had to switch positions and go do his job.
Mm.
And I know how to do it because I cover breaks for him and stuff. Like when he goes on break, I'll go back there and do his work. But today was the first real day that I had to do it by myself. And I even told my supervisor, I was like, hey, man, I've never been in here all day by myself. So I don't, you know, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And he just kind of goes, oh, you know, just whatever you do on breaks. And basically, man, on a lot of those breaks, like I don't have to do anything except for wait. Maybe every once in a while I'd do something because, you know, you're waiting on washers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, thanks for the advice. And then I just kind of thought to myself, you know what, man? I unload these things every day so I know what goes in there. And then I just went with it. Yeah. I went with the flow. And, you know, I know like in the past, man, I would have been like, I don't want to do this. And, you know, trying to bitch around and just.
How come he called in?
Yeah, you know, just trying to be all shitty about it. But, man, I just went with the flow. I, you know, and it's crazy because towards the end of the day when the maintenance guy was going to head out, he goes, yeah. He goes, you did a really good job. He goes, we thought we would be able to catch up on the dryer or on the other side, on the clean side, because you know they always fall behind because too much stuff is coming out. But I kept up with everybody.
Nice.
I mean, I kept up with them. I mean, I was never behind. And so, and then you know, I was just now thinking about it too. I was like, man, I don't even really know what I did. Like I was just in the zone, just going all day. You know.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I did, but at the end of the day, I was joking around, and I told my boss, I'm like, yeah, never again. And he goes, what? Never again? And I started laughing. I was like, no, I'm just kidding. I said, but I just had to go from one mode, like my whole day is about thinking about how to do my job.
Yeah.
And then switch to this whole other opposite side of it. But, like, I think that flexibility really helps because, man, like that, you know, I always say resistance always causes friction and friction causes pain.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of a story when our high school PE teacher told us about this guy, and I guess he was really, really drunk riding on a train, and he wanted to stop at this place, but they didn't stop there, so he went to the door and kind of, you know, was trying to get out and must have been really, really, really drunk.
Yeah.
But he stepped off of that train not realizing it was going like 70 miles an hour.
Ooh.
And I guess his body was so relaxed, like he hit the ground and tumbled and then just got up, walked off. Or, you know, I'm sure he was like scratched up and stuff, you know, pretty banged up, but he didn't like break bones or like get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like a good example of like how you can be, you know, you're just so at, like Randy's always talking about peace, right?
Yeah.
That peace within. Like, I think if that it kind of translates to that idea of, you know, being relaxed, being okay with yourself enough to handle certain changes and, you know, because the world's always in flux. Like, our outside world is always changing. Mm-hmm. And we don't really realize it, but, like, you know, to kind of, like, man, to, it's like I said, the more we resist, the more friction it causes us, you know,
yeah,
within, and then that's what causes that disruption in our peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think flexibility is something that, you know, has to be practiced. I mean, like, just like Josiah said, man, it's something I had to learn because I was never good with change, especially something major.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would carry that around for a long time. And going to therapy, my therapist gave me this paper about it's called Radical Acceptance. And you go into a situation, and it's, okay, this situation can go one of two ways. I can do my job, or I might have to go do somebody else's job. Either way, I'm going to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Right? Like, either way, I am going to accept whatever it is that I have to do.
Yeah.
And I know that's, you know, the example I'm using, but that can translate to so many different things in our lives. So, yeah, flexibility is key. And, you know, you can bend, but you don't have to break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like that because I think, like, as you were reading that, it reminded me of something that my cousin says, and I haven't talked to him in a long time, but I remember this conversation, but it's like a Bruce Lee thing. Remember in, was it that, not the documentary, but what's it called, Dragon or something?
Last Dragon?
The one about Bruce Lee where he says, like, be water.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I remember, like, going through something, and he was like, be water, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I really wish I had your attitude, bro. Because, yeah, like, everything, like, being water, like, you know what I mean? Like, you
go with the flow.
Yeah. Mm. So, like, and, you know, it's still something that I'm trying to perfect. You know, I'm getting a lot better than I used to be. I'm still not where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, case in point, like, I lost my company card this week. And, man, I was like, I didn't realize it till Tuesday. And then I went to go look for it, and it wasn't there. And I'm like, damn.
Mm.
But, like, I had to really adapt and then be like, okay, like, I'm not the first, like, this didn't, I'm not the only person this ever happened to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my mind did go, like, negative almost immediately.
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, back to, like, what you were saying, like, man, I'm so dumb. I'm so, why did I mess up? Like,
yeah,
you know, things of that nature. And the funny thing is, like, last night, man, I caught myself.
Yeah.
Like, when I got home, my daughter, you know, went to go hang out with her auntie. And I got home, and I was by myself, and I was kind of feeling down in the dumps. And then, man, I'm like, no, Randy, put that down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally had to tell myself to put it down.
Yeah.
That's not yours. I did what I could in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I did what I could this week. I looked everywhere. I don't know what happened, but at the end of the day, like, I realized, like, man, like, and one thing that I'm proud of is, like, I didn't take it out on anybody else, which is what I used to be good at and probably still am at sometimes, like, projecting my frustration and anger elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to concentrate on the work that's going on within.
Mm. Yep.
You know, to be flexible in every circumstance would be ideal.
Oh, yeah.
But then also giving grace to ourselves, like, hey, man, man, good job, bro.
Yeah.
You know, put that down, Randy. That ain't yours.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what comes up. And it's hard at times. Because it's like you're saying, man, like, life is really about learning, but it's also about unlearning.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, like, taking those bad traits down. Taking them away. Like, yesterday, me and my daughter, you know, had a discussion. And then today, I kind of went and reiterated that. But I did what you were saying, like, how you speak to your children. And I was like, man, like, she sat down and I got a eye level. And I'm just like, yo, like, this is what you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm basically encouraging her to do the work when nobody's around.
Mm-hmm.
So that it pays off at competition time.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, like, you do got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you have it. Like, I'm proud of you. And it goes back to dad cam. Like, you have what it takes.
Yes, sir.
Like, taking those negatives, because, and that's something that I'm trying to unlearn, is, like, rather than beat myself up and beat somebody else up over a situation, what can I handle? Being adaptable and flexible to every situation.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but not where I used to be.
But you're almost there.
Yeah. Right under Jesus Christ.
Right after the disciples. Oh. All right, who's next then?
I'll go.
Okay. Get your card in.
Get your card in. Mine says forbearance.
Mm. I want to know what this entails.
Student loans.
I'll read the front, and then I want to read that little poem thing like you did too. So,
okay.
Forbearance is patience, fortitude, and acceptance under trying circumstances. We tolerate hardship with good grace. We quietly call on our self-restraint. We are long-suffering in situations that we cannot control. We do not allow the trials of life to steal our joy. We extend forgiveness and understanding to others, knowing that we all have flaws and frailties. We are forbearing with ourselves, humbly mindful of the times we fall short, ready to move forward to try again. Forbearance is the mortar that keeps our relationships resilient and strong.
Mm.
And the practice of forbearance, I am accepting in times of trouble. I tolerate what I cannot control. I use self-restraint to calm my emotions. I am patient and forgiving with others. I humbly learn from my mistakes. I am committed for the long run. And man, it's, I don't know, man. Like, remember I was, when you said, here, pick a card. And I was like, this is the one the universe wants me to bring.
Yeah.
I pulled it out, and man, this, 'cause so forbearance, like patience, fortitude, and acceptance under trying circumstances.
Mm.
And so, man, that's really, I don't know. It's kind of weird that I picked this card, because, you know, my current situation that I've been in for the last couple of years has been trying, right? Like, man, it's always feels like, it used to feel like I was always walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
And being really hyper-vigilant.
Mm.
And then, you know, beating myself up for making mistakes. Nothing major. I don't go back out and I don't drink or use, but still at the same time, like trying to hold myself to such a high standard that to me, now that I think about it, man, I realize that that's not possible. It's just not possible. And personally, man, I think that kind of, it's almost like a concrete type thinking or black and white thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's either good or it's either good or it's bad. And there's, you know, just polar opposites. And there's nothing in the middle. And so I take that as I either succeed or I fail.
Mm.
And so with that being said, it's like, man, I have to be able to succeed. Like, I have to, because if not, then the opposite of that is, oh, I'm a failure.
Mm.
And I can't do this. And then also kind of going back to, you know, just flexibility, like tolerating hardship with good grace. Like, in the past, I would have never even known what that meant. But really, like, you know, when I was talking about, like, that radical acceptance. And to go through hardship with good grace, it's like, man, I was telling people, you know, be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. Be kind to yourself. Randy, you treat Randy really good today. And so I have to, and when I say those things, man, I'm saying it to myself.
Mm.
Like, because, you know, going through hardships with good grace, man, I would just beat myself up. Mm. Like, man, I should have did this, and I have to do that, and oh man, that's where I messed up. And see, now then like how you were talking about earlier, then oh, now I'm a failure. Now I'm not good enough. Now I'm not worthy. Now I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just taking it to that next level. And you guys know, because I've told you guys a million times before, like how that you guys do the same thing, right? Our mind just takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of keeps compounding itself. But I like the back of, because this goes back to that serenity prayer too. Like, I am accepting in times of trouble, accepting.
Yeah.
I tolerate what I cannot control. Like, I always talk about work, because that's really where I try to practice these things, because it's kind of like a little microcosm of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so before, I used to get so frustrated with my coworkers because they would always do things that I didn't want them to do. In other words, like, they would leave a mess that I would eventually have to clean up, or they're leaving everything just all over willy-nilly and just stuff all over the place. Yeah. And, like, I like everything nice and neat,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And I used to, like, okay, so Randy was talking about projecting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody over here in this little area would leave a cart in the middle of the walkway where people can run into it, or it's in everybody's way. And I would look at that person, and I would be frustrated with that person. Then I would go around the corner, and then I'd see something else, and somebody else did, and then I would, you know, build that up again.
Yeah.
Then I go around the corner to the third person who's doing something that, quote-unquote, annoys me, and that's the one that got it.
Yep.
that's the one that got it. So, like when you're talking about that projecting, man, so this first person got me annoyed. But then it seems like it magnifies everything else, because I'm already in that state of mind.
Mm.
And so, man, just nitpicking every little thing after that until it just builds up. And then the poor guy that barely even does anything probably doesn't even do anything. And then that's the one that gets, you know, gets the shit end of the stick, so to speak. You know what I mean? So, like, what I've been practicing is, like, I've been, like, acceptance. Like, there's one individual I can think of right now that used to annoy me or get on my nerves, or however you want to put it, every day. And now it's like, okay, this guy's going to be doing what he's doing. We've told him several times, this is how you got to keep things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he just does whatever he does. And then I was like, okay, well, you know what? Go ahead. Like, I don't know what he's going through, because that's one of the things I thought. Like, I don't know what this dude is going through. I don't know what his mindset is. I don't know how he thinks. But whatever. Like, do you, bro? And I'll work around it. That's fine. Like, and then when I did that, man, my day was so much lighter.
Yeah.
And now it's almost like it's funny to me.
Yeah.
When I see him do things like that, and I just kind of, you know, I just get a kick out of it. But to, you know, how was it? oh, tolerate what I can't control. And then the next part of that was use self-restraint to calm my emotions.
Yeah.
So those two things go hand in hand, right? Like, I can't control that, so why am I getting upset?
True.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all I got on that. I mean, I could probably keep going, but.
Yeah, no, that's good. That recently, you know, just on this trip, there's a point in time where I got real pissed. I got mad. And then I was like, whoa, what am I doing? You know, I was just like kind of angry. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything to disrupt the flow of anything that was going on. But I personally got mad and I got angry. And it was just, so I did my modulated breathing. I say, okay, I got tools. I don't want to ruin this trip. I don't want to, you know, like hurt anybody's feelings. So I did my modulated breathing for a little bit. And then I went to identify, like, what's going on? What am I really feeling? And it was like, I was feeling disappointment over a certain thing, which was, once I realized that, I was like, well, it's not a big deal. It's not really a big deal, you know? And I told myself that, and I was able to, like, identify that disappointment, which went back into what I was talking about earlier. Like, it was all played out in my head, and this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it didn't. And then I got, man, I just got real mad. Man, I was just like, for like a few seconds, man, I was like, man, I could feel it boiling up. But then I used my tools to identify what really happened. And then I was like, well, it's not really a big deal. It's not a big deal. And that's what I came to the conclusion. And then I was good. Yeah. And then, like, that anger left me. And then I was still a little bit disappointed, but I was able to deal with that.
Good job.
Yeah.
I know I was looking up that, because I know you were talking about, like, forbearance, and it, you know, the definition, New Oxford American Dictionary says patience, self-control, restraint, and tolerance. And kind of like that's what this episode is about, right? Like, all our, like, man, like, how normally, like, Randy high-strung, and I remember, like, I went to, you know, like, I was talking to my sister the other day. I went to my mom's, and she was like, man, it was like you didn't even listen to what you said. And I'm like, man, I know I caught myself. Like, she called me out because she, like, she loves to listen to the pod and you know, that's like, a good one. She called me out. And I'm like, man, like, but even that conversation was fruitful because we never used to have them types of conversations.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. my sister could check me in that moment, man. And I received it. I'm like, man, you know what? Like, you're right, man. And then when I went home, I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, man, like, because what I don't want to do and the growth part in me that I'm so proud of is, like, man, like, not projecting that on my daughter.
Yeah.
Not projecting it on those that are closest to me. Like, yes, I can feel frustrated like you did.
Yeah.
Because it was a situation out of my control. But then at the same time, I'm like, man, you know what? I'm the one at mercy here. I'm the one that's asking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be in control of this situation. And I feel like that's really, like, really helpful in the journey of, like, self-health. You know, like healing our inner turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Healing those wounds, right? Like, and the more I think about it, I'm like, man, like, because there's, like, certain things that I'm facing in life. And I'm like, man, like, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, okay, like, this goes down here.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point of, like, everything that I neglect or choose not to face in my life and my on the inside is left to my children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I feel like sometimes it is hard to go through this process. It is hard to seek that healing. The work that nobody sees, right? Like, that's why it's so vital, man, like, to use those self-help tools that you're talking about, like being able to journal, finding a healthy way for all that toxicity to come out, unlearning those things that we've done for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And try and willing to be uncomfortable to do something new.
Yep.
Because it comes back to one of the AA sayings, right? Like, insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Yep.
And that can be applicable to so many different things in life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, you know what? Like, none of us really knows everything. We just have our own little expertise area.
Yeah.
This little concentrated area that we've perfected almost. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's really about, like, because when I think about it, bro, like, my dad died at 39 years old. Today I'm 40.
Yeah.
I lived longer than my dad.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he probably didn't think like I did.
No.
He probably, at his age, like, he probably didn't think, like, unfortunately, he didn't have that chance.
Yeah.
But, like, the move, like, the things that I'm thinking about now, bro, like, learning these things, like, to be patient with myself, to be nice to myself so that my daughter doesn't fight what I fought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that self-hate. And when I think about, like, addiction and using and even hurting others, it was because I hated myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at the root of it.
Yeah.
Was, like, not being able to stand myself.
Mm.
But then now, like, man, like, hey, man, you know what? You're okay.
Yeah.
You're all right, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking to ourselves in a positive way. And I'm, man, it's crazy because after our last guest last week, that's what I've been implementing every morning. It's like, you know what, man? I'm not going to look at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to lay here for a little bit. And be thankful.
Yeah.
Dog, even if I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Man, I thank you, man, that I'm up today.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
You know, no, for real, though, bro. Yeah. Like, and it's crazy. I'm not saying that, you know, all of a sudden, like, life got perfect. It was more like.
Your perspective got better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And then even, like, catching those bad moments when we did down talk ourselves and be like, no, Randy, put that down.
Yeah.
That's not yours to pick up.
Yeah, throw that away.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
It chick. So, did you have some closing thoughts there on your card?
Well, I just wanted to read that last thing on there. It says, I am committed for the long run.
Oh.
It chick.
Ah,
it chick. Ah, it chick.
Nah, for real. Aho.
Aho. All right, we got one more card.
One more.
Deuce is wild.
Now, I like this whole thing. Talks about humanity to bring it all into, to bring it all back into contusions.
To multiple conclusions.
Metaphorically.
But mine is humanity and says, humanity is an attitude of caring and mercy toward all people. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. We all suffer and rejoice. Although in the eternal scheme of life, each of us is small, we are all one of a kind, irreplaceable. We lose our humanity whenever we generalize about a group of people and separate ourselves from them because of external characteristics such as race or sex. We tap into our humanity when we put ourselves in others' shoes and are genuinely concerned for their welfare. Our humanity grows as we serve others. There is no they, only us. And then the quote on the back says, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. Martin Luther King Jr. The practice of humanity. I feel a common bond with all people. I value each person as an individual. I refrain from prejudice. I feel empathy for the suffering of others. I have a passion for compassion. I offer humanitarian service. I am thankful for the gift of humanity. It connects me to all people. And that really, like, sums up, like, kind of like what you say, like, putting the humanity back into the equation.
Yeah.
And I think about my work out on the street. And what it taught me to do out there was to look at every person as something, as they were carrying something valuable.
Mm.
Man, it changed my whole perspective.
Yeah.
You know, to be out there every single day and see these people in their best moments. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they had a few weeks of clarity.
Yeah.
Seeing them fight for their sobriety, seeing them fight for, you know, we take for granted.
Yeah.
But it helped me to appreciate who they were as people.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always tried to carry in my work, was to help them discover the gold that they carry within themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Encountering every person. And a lot of society, they didn't see them that way. But for me, man, like, I learned to cherish them and come to find out, not to throw a little something sad in here, but Monday they found one of my old clients.
Mm.
And I just saw him. Last time I saw him was about 2 weeks ago. I saw him up at St. Vincent walking into the emergency room. But I remember this man, like, seeing him in some of his best moments.
Yeah.
Like when he, like the things that he cared about, the things that he shared with me. Being like, man, like. And then when he would slip up, like reminding him of who he was.
Yep.
And it even came down to the point, man, where I don't even want to, like, somebody said I said something about them. And when I seen them, we smoothed it over, him and his wife.
Yeah.
But being able to have that type of relationship with my former clients, bro.
Yeah.
Like, was awesome. And today, like, man, I don't have no regrets. It's bad that, you know, like, what happened. But at the same time, like, the part of that work that really helped me feel fulfilled was valuing who they were and who they are. And helping them to uncover who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Because yeah, most of society sees people out there as making a bad choice.
Yeah.
But we don't know the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the flip side of that, like seeing somebody, you know, with nice clothes, and they may have nice material things, but inside is ugliness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
But also being like JC said earlier, I don't know what they're going through.
Yeah.
But how can I help them see the good that they carry?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the kind of friend that I want to be, is the person that's like, yo, like, you carry something that nobody else has.
Mm.
And you mean so much to the people that care for you.
Yes, sir.
Man, the world would be a better place.
Definitely. If we're able to just, like, if everyone took it upon themselves to, like, just meet people where they're at, you know, and validate them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I too worked on the streets and. And that's what I, you know, I just try to pass out compliments, like very simple things. I remember there's this one lady, she'd been, you know, she'd been off the stuff. She'd been sober for a couple weeks, maybe longer, 3-4 weeks. And I was just going down Montana Avenue, and she was standing there. And I said, hey, good morning. She was like, hey, good morning. And I said, hi, you're looking good. I said, you've been off that stuff, like joking me.
Yeah.
And she kind of laughed. She's an older lady. And she said, oh, I said, yeah, you look. She said, oh, you think I look good? And I said, yeah, you look healthy. I said, so I know you're off that stuff. And she started crying. She said, that's the nicest thing anyone said to me in weeks or months or whatever.
Man.
You know, that was a shock to me. And that was early on when I first got out there. And it was just like really highlighted how rough they're out living out there, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of negativity. For a simple compliment to bring someone to tears, you know, and it's just like, wow. You know, like kind of what you say, I always say, they're living raw out here.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, it's tough. And so the more, like, if we're able to do that, and I'm sure hundreds of people walked by her that day, and, like, I was the only one who gave her a compliment or just said some hi to her, you know, and it's just kind of like, how much more can we do if each of us takes that on? And I like what Reverend Harmon says about our brothers and sisters out there on the streets. It's like, they're part of our community too.
Yeah.
They're not to be seen as a pestilence or something to fear, but they are part of our community. They're part of this city too.
Yep.
Just as much as those individuals living in gated communities out on the West End.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when a kind word to somebody is just going to change their whole day or their, maybe even their whole outlook on life. So just to be kind, but I'm reminded of one of my old counselors. He used to say, when we'd sit around in group, he'd say, well, now we need to, somebody would be sharing and then somebody would make a comment or whatever, but he'd say, no, we need to listen to this man because he's suffering.
Yeah.
He's suffering something right now. And so, I go back to what I said earlier is, like, I don't know what people are going through. And, you know, I've made it a habit to go around work and I just tell random people, hey, you're doing a good job.
Right on.
I just want you to know you're doing a good job. And, oh, thank you. So are you, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, because I know that there's a few people that are just, you know, they're always really negative. Like, it's, I mean, on one hand, I can say, well, if you don't like your job, why don't you quit? You know?
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean? Like,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
If you don't like your job, why don't you quit? But then at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, how can I brighten somebody's day? How can I, you know? And so I, you know, my personality, I like to goof around and joke around and, you know, get people to smile. And just pay those little compliments, like, "Hey, you're doing a good job," or, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, "You did a good job today."
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe that'll get them through one more day or whatever. But, you know, I can't help thinking lately is like when I see people and I really look at them and I think, you know, that's a child of God.
Mm.
That's God's child, just like me. You know, when we're all human, we all, that, like that card said, we all breathe the same air.
Mm-hmm.
If Yellowstone super volcano blew up, we'd all end up the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So.
Extra crispy.
Extra crispy.
Like your shorts.
Yug.
Extra. Anyway. But yeah, so I like to see people as human beings, and I know, like, man, you know, that in this culture we live in now, we're always trying to see the other, right? Like, okay, so you're, and the biggest thing that, you know, is it's always on the news is like, are you right? Are you left? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you straight? Are you gay?
No.
Are you this? Are you that? It's always us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, if we could stop, like you guys said, just stop for a minute and just, like, say, you know, like, what you're always saying is put the humanity back in it. Like, mm-hmm. That's a human being with thoughts, feelings, don't know what they're going through. They could live on a castle on top of the hill and just be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the guy that's walking the street and he smiling ear to ear, you know? So really, I think it's being, having the ability to focus on our similarities rather than our differences.
Yeah.
Cause I think, you know, I think it's ingrained in our brains to notice differences, like, you know, oh, we're Native and they're white, or we're male and they're female, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's like we automatically, remember I was telling you about,
like, Matilda?
Remember I was telling you about they did that study when they were giving those people different colored balls.
Yuck.
Yeah.
You guys said the same thing the last time I mentioned that too. You guys like that word, huh?
You do. You always want to say it.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it until I reclaim it as a clean, it's balls. They had balls in their hands, and they were different colors. Some had blue balls. Some had red balls. But the but the point is but the point is just that random ass taking of the balls, they automatically split into two groups, and you can tell how they started forming it.
Like, yeah,
like my balls are better than your balls.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like that's just part of our. I think that's part of our human nature. But to override that and say, you know, all of our balls are the same. Right. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think so.
Fucking Randy's really holding it together. But okay, so we're off the balls now. But like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, to look past you guys, to look past our differences and see those similarities, and I think that's, you know, like with recovery, because I know, like, in if you get into a really good meeting or a really good talking circle, and you realize that, man, I'm not the only one that's suffering, or, you know, that I'm not the only one that's been through some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I can really empathy. There's another one that I think that goes hand in hand with the card that Randy had, is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I put myself in your shoes and try to really, you know, empathize with what it is that you're going through, or who you are even as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I think we have to override that our, I guess, human instinct to see differences, and then to, you know, embrace our, well, we can embrace differences. We can, because us three, we all have different opinions on a lot of things, but yet here we are, like, we're just, you know, we're one, and we get along great usually.
But yeah, when we're going to a powwow.
When we're going to the powwow. But
to have a good time.
But, you know,
and a really good time.
But to extend that grace and that empathy and that love and that kindness to other people that maybe we normally wouldn't.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I totally agree with that. Because there was a point in time in my life, I was, like, very prejudiced, biased, and racist to certain people with different shade color of skin, and even to, like, other natives. I was, like, prejudiced and stuff. But it all boiled down. But once I started on the Red Road, started work on myself, and I found out, like, I really didn't like myself. I pretty much hated myself. And so once I started loving myself, then I was able to look out, and I think I've shared this multiple times on here, but I was able to look out and just see people. It's like, man, they're all, you know, they're out here trying to do the same thing for the most part that I'm trying to do, you know, make a living, provide for my family, all this and that. And it's like, whoa, man, we need. So that changed my perspective into, like, to be more encouraging, you know, just on a daily basis. Like, I was downtown last week. Waiting to go into a meeting. I was waiting for some doctors because I was taking them around to different organizations. Standing outside, the street person was walking by. I mean, and I noticed he had some Hokas on. I was like, oh, those are nice. But he was, like, dirty. You know, he had a beard, Caucasian male. And he had his arms folded and head down. He was walking. And he was walking right in front of me. And I said, good morning. And he stopped, looked at me, and he smiled. He said, good morning. And he just kept going. And I was just like, he was kind of shocked, like, when he first looked at me. But in the past, I would have never did that. I would have been, like, just kind of, like, mad dogging him.
Mug him.
Yeah, mad dog him and just be like, man, what a worthless, you know, whatever.
But you made a really, really good point, though, because that's where, you know, the real work starts when you change it from what's wrong with you to what's up with me.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Yeah. And Randy kind of alluded to it earlier, is like, that's where it's tough to change those old beliefs and those old ideas and these old, because then you're looking at yourself, man. And that shadow work is kind of, it's not easy.
Mm-mm.
Because then you realize, like, man, I used to be an asshole.
Still are sometimes.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I told you, this is a journey. This is not a destination.
No, I think we're all assholes, metaphorically speaking. Right on. That was good. Any closing comments on the cards?
I like that. Man, that was a good idea. We'll have to do that again.
Yahoo. Yahoo. Yeah, I think we're going to have to do this one once a month. I'll put the cards here on the very end.
You got a little bag for yours?
Yeah, we all got bags, I thought.
He never gave me a bag. He gave me a... Yeah, mine's just in a plastic, I think.
Did you even open the plastic?
I should have got my bookshelf.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And mine is still in the car, actually.
Oh, I think I got mine at the facilitator's training.
That's why. And then we were facilitators too, remember? We didn't get... man, it's getting robbed.
Yeah, you better holler at Uncle Mike.
What's up with the little bag?
All right, so... I wanted to tell this joke. I remembered it. Heard it from mine. So this joke is not mine. I heard it at a powwow. Heard an MC tell it. And he was, I can't remember his name. He's not from around here. But it was at MSU Billings powwow. He told this joke, and I really liked it. And I remembered it the other day, so I'm going to tell it. So there's numerous times the Bzaloga had to battle against multiple tribes that tried to take us out. So one of the times we were like back in, remember in between the Gap and Sage Creek is what, about 10 miles or so?
Yeah.
About there. And then throughout there, there's a bunch of coolies on the east side, remember, that go in and out, go further back. Anyway, so they got us trapped in there. And the enemy is like surrounded us and we're in there, and every charge they send, man, we beat them back and beat them off, kill them and stuff. And they couldn't get us. You got that one. They couldn't kill us. And then, the enemy regrouped and said, oh, down the ways, towards the Gap, they're building a tunnel. They have dynamite over there. Let's go get that dynamite. Come back. And that's how we're going to defeat the Crow here, the Bzaloga. So the enemy sent some warriors, some scouts down there to bring a couple boxes of dynamite from the tunnel. And they did. They brought it back, and then they started chucking them. But we were still able to, the Bzaloga, we were still able to become victorious that day, because when the enemy threw that sticks of dynamite to us, we picked them up and lit the fuse and threw it back.
Stupid. Hold on, wait for it.
That's funny. Oh,
you got your giggle for the evening.
Yeah, my dry humor.
Dry humor.
My dad jokes are kicking in big time. Oh yeah, we did our bracket challenge. And you're in first? You're in third?
It's not looking good right now.
JC's in first. But yeah, his team's Arizona, and I think they're gonna go down. Clemson got them good.
Let me see, hold on.
I just need Arizona to lose out, and I need UNC to lose out tonight, and then I'm gonna be sitting good.
They're down by 5 with just 7:58 to go.
Oh, there's plenty of time.
So we'll see. But hey, this guy said, oh, he goes, I take it you're a Rez kid. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you picked Arizona for both of your brackets? And I'm like, I told you guys this before. I live and die with the Wildcats. That's the hill I'm going to die on. So
have they been good games, though?
For the most part, yeah, I think they have been.
Last weekend they had, like, those overtime.
Yeah.
Double overtime. And But hey. Free throws. I keep telling everybody, free throws. You got to make your free throws, man.
I know, man. That was the case with the Lodge Crest Indians, too.
Yeah, they got to work on free throws and rebounding.
Yeah.
Learn how to box out and shoot them free throws, baby.
Physical, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was crazy. Yeah, Lodge Crest, that was my only thing, was like, once they put a body on them, dog, they didn't know how to respond.
Yeah. I know. It's just like, I think with this generation, a lot of them focus too much on finesse.
Yeah.
Trying to juke people out. So, like, no contact, basically.
Yeah.
So, when they do get some contact, they kind of shut down. So, I, I think that that's just a little hurdle that a lot of this generation in high school that's playing and younger, I need to embrace that contact. Man, I love to play down on the block because, man, I could use my strength to push out those big guys and get rebounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm 6 foot, but I still, you know, would get 10, 12 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Bang it out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we good to go, man. Anything else you guys want to touch on before we head out?
I think we banged that one out.
Yuck.
Balls to the wall.
All right. So, let's get Karen in the house.
Where the hell is Karen?
Where is Karen? We haven't seen her in a while. Karen. Hey, girl. There you are.
This evening.
Looking awesome with your mane. So beautiful. It's always good to see.
Did you cut your mane? Did you do something with your mane?
She French braided it.
I don't know, but it looks good.
Right on. So, hey, let's get out of here. And to all our listeners out there on Flat Earth and underneath the firmament, we love you. We appreciate you. And to our Unspoken Words disciples, keep spreading Unspoken Words gospel, Billy Graham style. Hey,
be kind to yourselves.
And to Mr. Radcliffe, have a great day.
Have a great day, Mr. Radcliffe. Go Boston. It's opening day.
Today?
Yeah.
Right on. Let's go.
There we go.
Let's go then.
We're going to the powwow.
We're going to have a good time.
Circo.
And with that, peace.
These unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk. Now sit back, relax, and listen.